Jerry Board of Supervisors meeting scheduled for September 14th, 2021 at 7 p.m. I'd like to indicate for the record, note for the record, that our board met in executive session at 6:30 p.m. to discuss legal issues. That discussion concluded at approximately 10 after 7, 7:10 p.m. So I apologize for being late, but that's that was why we were late. With that, I will call this meeting to order and ask that everyone rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Crispin, would you please conduct the roll call?
Certainly. Supervisor Zamuda?
Here.
Supervisor Court?
Here.
Supervisor Abruzzo?
Here.
Supervisor Nutt?
Here.
And Supervisor Wyckoff?
Here.
There are five present, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you. So we have a quorum of the board. We'll proceed with our meeting. Before we start with the formal agenda, it's noted around the room, but I'll note for the record that it's posted within the meeting room. And I want to advise all persons attending this meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. That dovetails into the next session on the agenda, which is our public visitor public comment session. There's two of those on the agenda, one now and one at the end of the meeting. Both times we ask all speakers to identify themselves by name, first name, last name, and address. And again, that is for the purpose of recording accurate minutes so that in the record, it will always reflect who made the comments and what the comments were. So, with that, the general rule of thumb with our visitor public comment session is 3 minutes. If you get close to the 3-minute mark and you're not wrapping up, I would just gently nudge you along to finish up. We do that so that we can get to the business items on the agenda for the evening. Other than that, this visitor public comment session belongs to the public. So, with that, anyone wishing to address the board on the visitor public comment, please come forward.
Good evening. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Behaving ourselves? Okay. My name is Charlton E. Zimmerman. I live at 119 North Roosevelt Avenue in Palmdale, 1300 block of East Dairy Road. Okay? And I have one important question. On September 1st at 5 o'clock, I came up here to the township building and it was dark, and I went to the police station because I was concerned because we had flooding from Tropical Storm Ida. And in 2011, Chris, I think you'll remember, down on the 1100 block of East Caracas, we had a bad flood. Yeah. Anyways, I was concerned about that Palmdale Acres flooding out again. At 2011, there was only 2 trailers. Now there's 15. So a lot of those people down there were unaware of the flooding hazard. At the end of Roosevelt, at Caracas, East Caracas Avenue, I looked down in the where the solar panels are. The zoning officer allowed them to build there with the board's approval. Anyways, the water was up to the blacktop coming up to East Caracas. So I came up here to try to ask if there's going to be patrols to watch on the flooding to verbally tell those people to evacuate sometime Wednesday night on the 1st. Came up here. No police officer on duty, nothing. So I pushed the button, got Dauphin County Emergency. I tried to explain to the lady what was going on, that I requested a police officer make patrols down there in Palmdale because of the flooding hazard. She said, well, I'll take your number and I'll have a police officer or Derry Township call me back. Never got a call. I even sent an email to the manager of the township. Never got a reply to my email. Even after the flooding. Thank God it didn't. 5 more inches, and those people would have been flooded out. And I related to the zoning officer back in 2011, well, before that, Mr. Small, God rest his soul, that those meters were 4 feet high. And if PP&L didn't pull the switch on that sub-feeder feeding that, those people would be coming out of the rescuers, electrified water. We had a lot more casualties. Thank God, God was with us that day on September 1st of this year. That's all I have to say. So I'd like to know, why wasn't the township man when everybody was alerted that there was possible flooding? That's all I got.
Good question. Thank you, Carl. Thank you for your comments. Let us kind of look back into that ourselves, and we'll get back to you with some.
I'd appreciate it.
And I do remember the comments you made back in, it seems hard to believe it was 2011, but about
yes, you did respond.
Yeah, I remember that time, and I remember, I don't remember what PP&L ever addressed that issue with the meters outside the home.
No, they never addressed it. It was never brought up to them. Because there was only two trailers there at that time. But that's a hazard, a killer if we bat. And as President Biden would say, this ain't no game.
Thank you for your comments. We appreciate it. We'll look into it, and maybe there may be an opportunity to. I don't remember what we did with that information in 2011, but certainly now in 2021, we could certainly reach out to PP&L ourselves as a township and make them aware of our concern.
I would.
With those meters, because you're right, that would. Potentially kill people.
Thank you.
So, thank you for your comment. Anyone else wishing to address the board? Okay. All right, well, with that, we'll move to the next item on the agenda, which is our consent calendar. As you know, we can entertain all items under the consent calendar with one motion or separately as the board desires. The first item under the consent calendar is A, it's the adoption of the Board of Supervisor meeting minutes first. From the August 24th public hearing, second from the August 24th actual regular meeting. B under the consent calendar are three financial performance security items. Quickly, B1 is the release of the remaining balance of the performance security provided for the preliminary final land development plan for Ugro Learning Center addition. It's plat 1271. B2 is the reduction of the financial security provided for the post-construction stormwater management and erosion and sediment pollution control site plan for 85 South Hills Drive, S-219-S-2019-010, and B3, which is the release of the financial security provided for the post-construction stormwater management plan for 1605 Landvater Road, S-2021-004. C, and the final item under the consent calendar is the approval of accounts payable in the amount of $1,730,082.24 and payroll in the amount of $295,824.50. Those are the items under the consent calendar. Again, we can entertain a motion from the board to approve all in the motion or separately as the board sees fit.
We'll make a motion to approve all the items on the consent calendar.
Very good. Motion made by Ms. Court to approve all items under the consent calendar for this evening's meeting. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mrs. Nutt. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. And the motion to approve the items under the consent calendar is approved. That will take us to new business on the agenda. The first item under new business, a very pleasant one indeed, is A1, and it's the consideration of an appointment to the position of Director of Library Services. Mr. Crispin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the board is aware, under Section 1301B of the Pennsylvania Second Class Township Code and Chapter 28, Section 2085B2 of the Code of Derry Township, the township manager shall nominate for appointment, assign, and define the qualifications and duties of all department heads subject to approval by the Board of Supervisors. As you're aware, our previous director, Laura O'Grady, resigned on June 21st of this year from her position as Director of Library Services, thereby creating a vacancy. A search committee was convened, and we conducted a very extensive interview process. The township received a total of 14 applications from different candidates actually across the United States to fill this position. The search committee narrowed the candidates to identify three finalists who were interviewed for the position of Director of Library Services, and one candidate emerged to be our next director. As your manager, I'm pleased tonight to recommend the appointment of Allison Troutman, who is here tonight, to be appointed to the position of Director of Library Services. As you all know, Allison does come to us from the Berks County Library System, where she currently serves as an outreach services coordinator managing programming for 23 libraries in the Berks County system. Allison is well-versed in various service delivery models and is positioned to lead our library and continue to make it the best in the region. Additionally, Allison holds a Bachelor of Arts degree in English from Marywood University and a Master of Library and Information Studies degree from the University of Pittsburgh. I'm pleased to have Allison join our senior management team, and I'm certainly looking forward to working with her, hopefully for many years to come. So, thank you and congratulations.
Very good. Thank you for that introduction, Mr. Crispin. Allison is present, but is there a motion from the board?
I'll make a motion, Mr. Chair, to hire Allison for as our library director.
Very good. Motion made by Mr. Zmuda to appoint Allison A. Troutman to the position of Director of Library Services effective Monday, September 27th, 2021. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mrs. Nutt. Any discussion? Before we vote, I would just say it was an honor to be a part of the interview process for the candidates that applied to the position. Allison was indeed shining star in that process and through that process, and I wish her all the best. We're excited to welcome her to the team, and this is just one of many more township meetings you will have to attend. So with that, all in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it, and this appointment, this motion is approved unanimously. So is your appointment. Welcome, Allison. Would you like to come up to the podium and have anything you'd like to offer the board as a way of comments?
I just want to say thank you for appointing me. I'm very much looking forward to starting. I met the staff today at the library, some of them. It just seems like a very wonderful place to work, and I'm looking forward to continuing to improve library service in Derry Township. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, well, with that, we will move to the next item on the agenda. It's B2-10. It's the adoption of a decision for conditional use application number 2021-03. 1533 East Chocolate Avenue, as filed by K and N Properties LLC. Mr. Hemrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As was explained at the public hearing on August 24th, 2021, the applicant K and N Properties LLC is proposing to operate a short-term rental on the property located at 1533 East Chocolate Avenue. The property is in the Palmdale Mixed Use and the East Chocolate Avenue Overlay Zoning Districts. The Derry Township Planning Commission, at their meeting on August 3rd, recommended that the conditional use authorization be granted. I'm recommending that the decision for conditional use application number 2021-03 be adopted, including conditions A through K as listed in the conditional use approval.
Any questions for Ms. Garmer on this item? If not, is there a motion?
I'll offer a motion that the decision for conditional use application number 2021-03 is hereby adopted.
Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Ms. Court. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion to adopt the decision for the conditional use application number 2021-03, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it, and this motion passes unanimously. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is C11-20. It's waivers from filing a land development plan requested by Messer Home Builders, Inc. regarding the construction of a new home at 1410 Sand Hill Road. Mr. Hamrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kevin and Beth Streeper own a 27,253 square foot parcel of land front on Sand Hill Road. It's located in the R1 zoning district and the Sand Hill Road O12 overlay. The property is presently improved with a single family dwelling and detached garage. The Streepers desire to construct a new dwelling attached to the existing garage on the property while living in the existing dwelling. They then propose to demolish the existing dwelling. Their application indicates that only one dwelling will be occupied at any one point in time. Therefore, they're requesting a waiver from the requirement to file a subdivision and land development plan. Under our subdivision and land development ordinance, a land development plan is required any time that more than one principal dwelling is put on a piece of property. As has typically happened in Derry Township, we have in the past waived the land development plan with the understanding that the applicant is to enter into an agreement with the township citing the time of completion of the improvements and demolition of the dwelling accompanied by performance security to ensure the demolition of the existing structure. Since there'll be temporarily two dwellings on this property at one time, I've reviewed that temporary condition and find that it's compliant with our zoning ordinance as it relates to impervious lot coverage. As I noted before, and I'll show you on the screen, there's an existing garage that's less than 10 feet from the side property line. As a detached structure, it's required to be 10 feet from the property line, so it's an existing non-conforming structure because it's too close to the property line. When they connect that garage to their new dwelling, that will become part of the principal structure, and principal structures in the zoning district are required to be 20 feet from the property line. So the Streepers have filed an application with the Zoning Hearing Board, which will be reviewed tomorrow evening, and we would look for a decision to come out at their next meeting. At their next meeting on October 20th. If the relief isn't granted, then the proposed improvements will need to be altered. But either way, the Streepers are intending to build one house and then tear down the other. So I don't know that that's an issue with the waiver of land development plan. I think that's more of an issue with the zoning board. On reviewing the plan that accompanies the waiver request, I did notice two things, and included in the conditional approval, they would be required to clearly show the areas on the property where the existing impervious area will be removed, and also ensure that there's no unauthorized encroachments into the setbacks. The Derry Township Planning Commission at their meeting on September 7th did recommend that the requested waiver be granted with the conditions listed. I'm recommending that the requested waiver be granted with the following conditions: that the Streepers provide performance security in the amount necessary for the township to demolish the existing dwelling and other improvements intended to be demolished if the Streepers fail to do so in accordance with the conditions as determined by the board. That the Streepers enter into an agreement with the township in a manner and form acceptable to the township, which states at a minimum the time frame for the completion of the demolition of the existing dwelling suggested be within 30 days of the completion of the new dwelling, and authorization for the township to demolish the existing dwelling if the Streepers fail to complete the work within the agreed upon time. That the proposed single family dwelling is constructed substantially in compliance with the plan of property for Kevin E. and Beth A. Streeper, which is projected on the screen, prepared by the Lexus Group, except as may need to be amended if the Streepers fail to receive the necessary relief from the Zoning Hearing Board for the side yard setback of the existing garage. And finally, that the Streepers obtain any approval for any and record any required stormwater management plan. I will note that the proposed demolition of the one building and the construction of the new building as proposed on this plan will will require a stormwater management plan to be done for the improvements. That completes my report.
Any questions for Mr. Emmerich on that?
I have a quick question. Chuck, paragraph 4, I just need a better explanation for this. It says, by attaching a new single-family home to the existing garage, existing non-conforming structures transform from an accessory structure into a part of a principal structure and therefore made more non-conforming.
So
is the idea to get it to a point where it's conforming?
Ideally, if the garage exists today, for whatever reason, they're looking to connect it to their new dwelling. In the zoning district, detached accessory structures only have to be 10 feet from the side property line. This is already closer. When they connect it to the main house, to the new home, it's going to be required to be 20 feet from the property line. So that's what they're going to the zoning hearing board seeking approval for, is to keep the garage where it is, so it's not unexpected to a neighbor. I mean, it exists there today. But to get relief to transform it from an accessory structure to a principal structure.
Right. All right, thank you.
Mr. Ryan, and if the zoning hearing board doesn't grant that relief, then I think you noted that they were going to go back to the drawing board and recreate something.
They're going to have to do something. Okay. Yeah, if the garage remains detached from the house, it's an existing nonconformity, it can continue on.
Okay.
Solicitor, have any input on this?
Chuck, I was just going to recommend to the board just a couple kind of boilerplate conditions for compliance with the zoning ordinance, unless relief is provided by the zoning hearing board, which I think is baked into the question that Ms. Nutt just asked. The second would be compliance with the stormwater management ordinance requirements, which I know you referenced, and the final would be that the applicant enter into a professional services contract, because there is going to be professional work that's associated with this. You mentioned the destruction if the applicant doesn't destroy the existing dwelling on the property, so we'd have to have, this is going to be legal work that's going to be required.
We'd be looking for you to write the agreement.
Right, yes. Exactly, and this way everybody doesn't have to pay for it, it's the property. That's all three of them. That's
all right, well, then it might be easiest if I make the motion and add the three that Will suggested. I will go ahead and move that the waivers granted from sections 185-12 and 185-13 of the Derry Township Subdivision and Land Development Ordinance do not require a land development plan to be filed for the proposed construction of a new home at 1410 Sand Hill Road, while temporarily retaining the existing dwelling, subject to the conditions noted in the department head recommendation section of this agenda item, and compliance with zoning ordinances unless relief is secured from the zoning hearing board, compliance with stormwater management ordinance requirements, and entering into a professional services contract. That is the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second that, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Motion seconded by Mr. Zabuda. Further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes. And we'll move on to the next item on the agenda. Thank you. The next item is D, is 21-34. It's the consideration of time extension for conditional approval of the final lot consolidation and land development plan for the Hershey West End, specifically streets and infrastructure plans, Plat 1330. Mr. Rimmer?
Thank you. Plat 1330 represents the final plan after the January 22, 2019 approval of the conditional use application number 2018-01. For the Hershey West End Master Plan as filed by the Hershey Trust Company. I keep moving it further away, it doesn't sound good. The Board of Supervisors approved Plat 1330 on March 23rd of this year. conditioned upon several items being addressed by the applicant no later than September 23rd, 2021. The applicant, by way of their legal counsel, has requested an extension of time until October 29th, 2021 to address the remaining conditions of approval. The extension request proposes no changes to the details of the previously approved plan or the waivers granted. I'm recommending that the board extend the approval of Plat 1330 until October 29, 2021, subject to the 18 conditions that I have listed in my staff comments, many of which are changes of address, or I'm sorry, changes of date for compliance. That completes my report.
All right, so you're not going to go through the department head recommendations?
I'm happy to go through the 18 items if you'd like
to
hear them.
I don't think you need to go through all 18. I think as long as we refer to the 18 department head recommendations, a motion can pass with that. But is there anyone that has any questions about any of the recommendations? I don't want to gloss over that if there are.
Mr. Emmer, the only thing that's changed on the recommendations is timing, just moving the time clock forward to October 29th.
They have addressed two of the comments from the prior approval. So on the prior approval, I'm guessing that there were 20. But yes, otherwise there's recitations of prior conditions of approval.
Any other questions? If not, we'll entertain a motion.
I'll offer a motion that the approval of the final lot consolidation and land development plan for Hershey West End Streets and Infrastructure Phase Plat 1330 is extended to October 29th, 2021, subject to compliance with items 1 through 18 under Department Head Recommendations section of the agenda item.
Very good. Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Motion seconded by Ms. Court. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. That will take us to the next item on the agenda, which is E35-42. It's the acceptance of financial security for the stormwater management plan for 1016 East Governor Road. S-2021-015. Mr.
Emmer. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This plan was submitted to detail the design for stormwater management facilities for a new dwelling, driveway, and patio at 1016 East Governor Road. The applicant and property owner is Glenn R. Spinato. HRG reviewed the cost estimate prepared by the applicant's engineer and recommended that financial security in the amount of $14,699 is provided. The applicant has provided the security in the form of cash and has entered into the township standard agreement to provide financial security to guarantee completion of improvements required by a stormwater management site plan and report. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors accepts the cash financial security in the amount of $14,699 and enters into the agreement to provide financial securities with Glenn R. Spinago for the stormwater management plan for Spinago Properties, 1016 East Governor Road, stormwater plan approval number S-2021-015.
All right, questions for Mr. Emmer? If not, we can entertain a motion.
I'll offer a motion that the Board of Supervisors accepts cash finances security in the amount of $14,699 and enters into the agreement to provide financial security with Glenn R. Sponangle for the stormwater management plan for Sponangle Properties, 1016 East Governor Road, S-2021-015.
Thank you. Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Ms. Court. Any further discussion? All those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. The next item is F-43-49. It's the consideration of entering into a contract for professional municipal legal services relative to updates and additions to the township's regulations related to wireless facilities. Mr. Emmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There have been recent changes in the laws governing how municipal regulations apply to wireless facilities. The General Assembly approved the Small Wireless Facilities Deployment Act, known as PA Act 150, and the governor signed it into law on June 30th, 2021. Act 50 adds a new set of regulations to municipal management of small cell wireless facilities in the public right-of-ways, including timing for permit approvals, permissible fees for review and permitting, dimensions for small wireless facilities, and the ability to enact local design standards for these facilities. Additionally, on June 28, 2021, the U.S. Supreme Court let stand the Federal Communications Commission's third report and order of 2018, which, among other rulings, created and defined a new classification of small wireless facilities, imposed certain shot clocks for approval or denial of small wireless facility applications, established presumptively reasonable fees that may be assessed on wireless providers, and prescribed general rules for enacting local design standards for small wireless facilities. Importantly, the Act states that if a municipality has not adopted a wireless ordinance that complies with the Act by October 28, 2021, then the Act alone will govern the review, approval, denial, and management of wireless facilities, actually until such time as a municipality may adopt an ordinance that's in compliance with the new regulations. The Capital Region Council of Governments has contacted Cohen Law Group asking that they provide a proposal to update municipal ordinances as they relate to the new laws governing wireless facilities. The Cohen Law Group should sound familiar. They've specialized exclusively in representing municipalities in cable, wireless, and broadband matters for over 23 years. In fact, the Cohen Law Group did just write our cable franchise renewal agreement with Verizon that was adopted by the board on February 23rd, 2021. Cohen Law Group has provided the attached scope of services and estimated fee schedule. Working with the Capital Region Council of Governments, we were able to realize a savings of $900 to $1,200 for the services. As this is a timely matter, I'm seeking board approval to enter into the agreement with Cohen Law Group to amend the township's regulations related to wireless facilities. As would typically be done, Pat Armstrong or Will or somebody from Brimbean and Thatcher would ultimately review the regulations before adoption. Cohen Law Group has provided the cost proposal for the completion of the project on a flat fee basis, estimated to be between $4,800 and $5,100. Actually, depending on how many municipalities participate in this program. Their fees do exclude copying, postage, public meetings, and travel other than the launch meeting for the project. These costs of services would be attributed to our legal services and specialized counsel budget item. I'm recommending the Board of Supervisors enter into the agreement with the Cohen Law Group for the update and additions to the township regulations related to wireless facilities. And I will add that both in 2017 and 2019, our zoning ordinance was in compliance with the laws then, and they are just a bear to get through and find your way there. And I'm sure it's no different now.
So just before the board takes up this item, this Cohen Law Group, by all means, is the expert in this field. I mean, they draft these ordinances for municipalities all over Pennsylvania. I have their ordinance. The ordinance that they're going to give to Derry Township should advance higher them. Now, there's kind of two ways of looking at this. And the first is, I can just take what they've done and just apply it to the Derry Township zoning ordinance, if you guys want to go that way. But the other issue is, if there are going to be technical questions that the board is going to have, they are going to be better suited to address the technical questions. Now, if you were just going to say, listen, just adopt what you're doing for every other municipality, then, you know, we can do the same work, just sort of changing the numbers as using the same ordinance that Cohen's prepared. So I'm happy to answer any questions about this ordinance. I'm actually doing them in other municipalities. If you have any questions about what is actually going into them, I'm happy to answer them. But again, you know, this is going to be a technical process where you're going to want to go back and forth and you think make a lot of changes. By all means, Cohen's the experts, but if you think you're just going to apply the, you know, kind of pro forma ordinance, I just want to offer an alternative.
Could I ask a question, Chuck? Thank you.
Sure. Yep.
I'm not sure I really understand what a small wireless facility is.
I do. Yeah. So it's the 5G tubes that are going on top of a lot of power lines, the power electric poles. So if you stay under 50 feet, you're still a small wireless facility. Just they look like tubes. They're probably about this big around, about as big as the pole themselves, and they sit right up on top. Once you go above 50 feet, then you become a tower-based wireless facility. And when you say a tower-based wireless facility, you're thinking your towers. And then there's a third class of wireless facility, which is a non-tower-based wireless facility, which is anything that sits like on top of a building, maybe on the facade of a building. And there are different, you're allowed to regulate each differently. So you can regulate these tower-based and the non-tower, which are on the buildings. You can regulate them more than you can the small wireless facilities, which are the ones, again, that just sit up on the pole. So this 2018 FCC ruling that Cohen presented and Chuck alluded to, that was basically meant to ease the rollout of these 5G tubes, these 5G small wireless facilities, because they didn't want every single municipality to have a different set of regulations, and that, you know, I go 200 feet across a municipal boundary line and all of a sudden I have to go through land development to put this, it just screws up their entire, you know, coverage area. So that was the intention, and now you are all tasked with adopting new ordinances, therefore.
And Will, am I understanding the briefing correctly that if we don't adopt an ordinance, then the FCC basically comes in and does what they want?
The law will control the state law. There's actually a state law, Chuck put that in there as well. It's Act 50 of 2020. Make sure it's Act 50. I think it's of 2020. It might be 2021. I'm not sure.
It might be 21, yeah.
But there is a state law that would control. But the importance of enacting your own ordinance is that you have some aesthetic control. Okay, and it doesn't mean that on October 29th that you lost the right to do any aesthetic control ever. It just means that from October 28th until the time that you adopt the ordinance, you know, I guess in theory somebody could come out and put a bright pink small wireless facility on top of one of your poles and really wouldn't fit with the aesthetic that the board would probably be going for.
So is it really just the aesthetics that we're hoping to have some sort of say over?
That's the main issue here. It's having some say over the aesthetics. The Cohen ordinance speaks to that. It says, I think the phrase it uses is earth tones or in sort of conformity with the surrounding area or matching the pole upon which the small wireless facility is placed. So, I mean, they certainly address that, but that's going to be your main issue.
So you mentioned that a municipality might have technical questions. I mean, have you seen that in other municipalities you serve?
Sure. So I can think of one where they're trying to kind of ramp up the review process and add steps that they were asking questions, and they have Cohen, and they're asking questions about what can we require, for instance, solar panels to be part of the proposal, so that if there's no power going to a newly constructed pole, rather than electrifying it, you would have a solar panel. I wouldn't have been able to answer that question. Okay, if you're getting as technical as, you know, can you require solar panels? I may not have been able to answer that. So, but if again, without knowing what your questions are, I can't tell you whether we're the best for the job or whether, you know, Cohen, who, like I said, is no doubt the expert in the field, is the better.
Not to get down to like dollars and cents, but if your firm was to handle this and to sort of work in Cohen's ordinance, like roughly what we'll be looking at compared to what Cohen's proposal is?
My guess would be about half, 3,000 maybe. So I think he proposed, what, 58? So 58 on the low end?
48 to 50.
So I would say between 24 and 3,000. And so I can't promise that, but it's not, you know, I'm kind of going in and changing the numbers that cover those. Also, no, I won't take it personally if you guys go to code. Like I said, they're by far the experts in the field.
And if I could add a few things, I did talk to Pat about this before bringing it forward, and he also said Cohen is the premier, you know, this, it's basically what they do, but that Grimbean could write it. I'm pretty comfortable that our 2018 ordinance is relatively in compliance and will take only a few tweaks. What you're referring to about earth tones and so on, we call stealth. So we look for stealth design. The things that I'm concerned with are that we're in tune with the fees that we can charge for review, the time that we can spend in review, the shot clock that was mentioned. Also, there's fees that we can charge if they're within municipal roads. Now, a few years ago, Hershey Park put in, I want to say about 22 mini cells. And when Crown Castle first came to the township with that, about 18 of them were going to be on public roads. And working with HENR, we got it that I think there's one on public roads, and that's at the entrance, the lower entrance to the outlets. If you look at the police academy side, you'll see one of the cells on there. If you look over at the Historical Society, you'll see a small cell over there that was erected. And in that case, they erected a same color pole as one was already there. What we find often is that they can't always use the poles that are there, light poles and so on. But we've asked them to, you know, if they're putting up something next to a wooden pole, to use a wooden pole. And if they're putting up something next to a galvanized pole, to use a galvanized, those kind of things.
Well, those seem to be sort of the aesthetic things. I mean, you mentioned other things other than aesthetics, but those don't seem, your concerns, Chuck, don't seem to be so highly technical that Grimby couldn't do the work.
I don't think so.
I mean, that's what I'm wondering, so.
And worst case scenario, if somebody came up with a question that Grimby didn't have the answer to, I'm sure we could hire the other firm.
Last time we wrote the ordinance in-house when Brandon Williams was here, I made him the specialist. And we actually had Cohen review it as part of their program they were running with the CogMed. It was a reduced fee to have them just review what we had written. So I'm pretty comfortable that what we have will only take tweaks to get to be made right. So I'm fine either way as well. I just want to get moving because we're not going to get it adopted by October, by that date now as it stands. Right. Yeah, we're just not going to get through the process.
Before I make a motion, would we have to wait for a quote from your...
No, I wouldn't. This, we would just build this at our hourly rate to the municipality, okay. Just the general rate.
Okay, I was going to make a motion to table this until we get a quote from them, but since we don't have to wait for them.
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a point of order that if the board is not inclined to move forward with it, I would ask that you vote it down tonight so that tabling it would just keep it alive on an agenda somewhere in the future. So I would rather just vote it down.
So if we, for example, if we wanted to move forward to allow Chuck to move forward, but we wanted Will's law firm to do this instead of the one that's on the agenda, would we just make a motion to that point?
Yes.
We don't have to decline this one and make it start here. Yeah.
It's not specific.
It is. It is the way it's written. It says that we accept the agreement with Cohen Law Group for the revision of additions.
Well, that's the suggested motion. The item is the consideration of entering into a contract for professional municipal legal services relative to blah, 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 blah. So it doesn't say specifically.
Okay, good.
And I can just take direction from the board. We have all the board here. If you're directing us to draft this ordinance, we can draft the ordinance.
Why don't we offer a motion? Is anybody ready to
okay.
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we have that Grimby and Thatcher perform the legal services relative to the updates and additions to the township's regulations related to wireless facilities. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, motion seconded by Mrs. Nutt. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please vote aye.
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 Opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it, and this motion passes unanimously. The next item on our agenda, moving along, is G50-55. It's the authorization to advertise an ordinance amending the code of the Township of Derry, Chapter 210, Sections 210 to 24, which is paraphrased as stopping intersections established by establishing, it's stop intersections established by establishing a multi-way, three-way stop sign control intersection at Joanne Avenue and Locust Street. Chief?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Derry Township Police Department received the request to make the intersection of Joanne Avenue and Locust Street a multi-way stop. This request was made due to a specific complaint stating that residents believe that the intersection has become dangerous and that stop signs would improve this intersection. There was also a complaint stating that vehicles are not turning when they are required and are either going down a private driveway, which is at the end of Joanne Avenue, or having to turn around at the end of a dead-end street, which would be at the end of Locust Street towards the south end. During the traffic study of the intersection, there were two issues that were observed. Motors traveling west on Joanne Avenue have an obstructed view when looking to the right, to the north. The sight distance was measured at 106 feet, and for this design and speed of roadway, this is less than required 147 feet. Without stop signs, there are left turn conflicts for motorists traveling south on Locust Street and traveling west on Joanne Avenue. There are also potential issues for traffic traveling north on Locust Street with cross traffic. As a result of the study that was done by our traffic safety section, issue one can be addressed with the property owner by having the shrubbery cleared and or trimmed. And issue number two is addressed in section 2B.07, which is multi-way stop applications of the federal manual on uniform traffic control devices. This section lists the need to control left turn conflicts as an option to consider when looking into establishing a multi-way stop. The establishment of a multi-way stop at this intersection would address left turn conflicts and would ensure the safe navigation of the intersection. The addition of the stop signs may help ensure that motorists do not turn down private driveways or dead-end streets as well. This study was also reviewed by HRG, and they agreed with the results of the study. Budget impact would be three stop signs. There would be a period where there would be three red flashers for 30 days on top of the stop signs, and the opposed to mount the stop signs as well.
Chief, questions from the chief on this item?
Chief, does Joanne terminate in a driveway? I'm just trying to look at it.
So, yeah, there's a driveway right across from where Joanne meets up with Little Street. Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Chief, they're continuing on into that driveway instead of turning.
You had some minor revisions from that today.
And I thought they were, I saw a revision on the agenda, and I thought you guys were included in.
They may have been. I don't know if I have an old copy.
Yeah, it looks the same as what I just read, so I figured they revised the agenda when he sent those revisions in.
Other questions for the chief? And if not, we can entertain a motion.
Go ahead and make the motion that we authorize to advertise an ordinance amending the code of the Township of Derry, Ordinance Number 553, Chapter 210-24, stop intersections established by establishing a multi-way three-way stop sign controlled intersection at the intersection of Joanne Avenue and Locust Street.
Thank Ms. Court. Motion made by Ms. Court. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zaluda. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes. The next item is H56. It's the authorization to conduct the 73rd annual Hershey Halloween Parade on Wednesday, October 13, 2021 at 7 p.m. Mr. Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am seeking authorization from the board this evening to conduct the 73rd annual Hershey Halloween Parade on Wednesday, October 13th at 7 p.m. The Board of Supervisors traditionally approves this annual event due to various roadway closures. Due to community center construction, this year's event will stage and end at the Hershey Company parking lot at the corner of Chocolate Avenue and Homestead Road. The parade will proceed on Caracas Avenue and make a right onto Valley Road, and then turn right onto Chocolate Avenue, continue to Ceylon Avenue, and back to the Hershey Company parking lot. This is a route that we have used in the past, which works very well to provide neighborhood and downtown exposure for this very popular community event. Primary expense for the event is police route coverage, parks and recreation staff time for 3 hours for the event, the registration process leading up to the event, and the expenses are drastically reduced because of the many volunteers that we have for this event and the prize donations from the Friends of Parks and Recreation. I would be happy to answer any questions the board might have.
Questions for Zach?
Zach, are we getting our usual truckload of chocolate?
We are not. We are not having candy at this year's parade.
We're not. That's disappointing.
Is that something we should make sure folks know in advance?
We already have our registration form. We already did put that on the website in anticipation of this being approved tonight. But we do have that on our sheet, like our fact sheet, so they do know that there won't be candy supplied this year and they do need to provide their own.
And
if they do want
to. That in the evenings too.
Correct.
Does that mean that folks that might have floats, they can't hand out candy either?
They can hand it out.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We just won't be providing the candy.
Okay.
Normally we have, like you said, truckloads available that we give to all the participants. So this year, any prizes or candy that they want to hand out along the route, they're not allowed to throw it from the vehicles, but if they want to hand it out, they just have to supply it themselves.
Okay.
So then why are we not handing it out, just so I know?
The basis was our donation request was unable to be fulfilled.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's from Hershey Company.
Correct.
Wow. Any other
reason?
We didn't get a specific reason. It just said they were unable to fulfill those requests at this time, and then they did offer, they would be happy to reevaluate next year and hopefully get back into a partnership.
Because of wine, because at Choptoberfest we already got we're getting stuff in there already.
Okay. Like I said,
that's covered. Because I was having the fun walking along the end. Can't do the kids.
Tom's not going to know what to do if he doesn't have to race down the street with his share. That's Tom's fun of the year.
You're exactly. We have an idea and estimate like that would cost the township and the Warren by way of donation. If you don't know, you can.
If I had to guess, we did talk about it internally for staff, it would be many thousands of dollars is what we get. We typically get 150 to 200 cases of candy. Which you see, if you go to Walmart and you see them, each bag is probably $10, which is probably 6 to 8 per bag. Or per box, correct. So it is a sizable donation.
And it goes fast. Believe me, it goes real fast.
Thank goodness the parade is good.
Well, it's good.
That's good.
Stop.
All right, any other questions?
I'm going to do a shameless plug. Choctoberfest is going to be the 16th at the downtown park.
With candy
and vendors and beers, 6 to 12 beer vendors.
enjoying good relationships with the different entities. But I'm wondering if maybe a member, there are a number of members, and I'm going to shamelessly look at this point.
Oh, no, I was already going to secretly reach out to them tomorrow, but now that I've mentioned it.
Maybe we can go ahead and approve this item.
Yeah, but I would like to just check in.
We should make sure that everyone at the company knows that the 73rd annual Hershey Halloween Parade that the company has decided not to donate the candy, which is always appreciated. We understand we don't need to be ungrateful, right? But I just want to make sure, because it will be an issue for folks. I mean, folks look forward to coming to the parade and having the candy handed out and available, whether they're in the parade or they're along the parade route. So.
And maybe, although it goes fast, even if we maybe cut down the request a little bit, you know, maybe that would make it more palatable.
Sorry, did you fill out a form?
Yeah, you have to do the candy request form online.
Ours goes directly to the, we've always submitted this one to like the Halloween division, an annual role.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so we've always been referred that for as long as I've been here.
There's another way.
Yeah. Well, let's have our supervision.
I have the EIN number for Parks and Rec. I can fill it out tonight. If you just shoot me an email with how many, what you're looking for. No promises, but we'll at least try.
Let's just make sure we don't give up on that.
You know, we were told we couldn't get the seasonal candy for Chucktoberfest, so that might be the clinger in the request.
Yeah, I mean, the company likes to, you know, obviously manage all the donations, both financial and product donations, you know, so they make sure they're investing in all the communities where they have a presence, and so I'm sure they would want to know, that there was a request out there. And it was the same thing with needing the parking lot. I mean, for a while we didn't know where this parade was going to start, and you just have to know, you know, where to go to get the right, okay. So no promises, Bill.
And I forgot to comment to what Chuck said. We're not getting October candy. We're not getting Halloween candy. We're getting regular candy. So it's not going to be pumpkins and acorns and all that stuff.
You mean the wrappers won't be?
Yes.
You're working about pumpkins and acorns and stuff. We don't want
them. Well, no,
specifically packaged from.
Right. Right.
So let's take this item and get this voted on. This is, do we have a motion to authorize the Halloween parade for the 13th?
I'll make the motion to authorize the Halloween parade.
All right, motion by Mr. Zanuta to authorize the 73rd annual Hershey Halloween parade on Wednesday, October 13th, 2021 at 7 p.m. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mrs. Nutt. Any further discussion?
Just a point that because this parade has always, as long as I can remember, for 30 years been on the Tuesday prior to the Thursday of trick-or-treat, and this is a Wednesday, this is going to rock people's worlds, and we should make sure we get it out early so we can get it on the calendar.
Probably the new parade route, too. There are probably some people who are used to being in different spots on Elm and all around.
Yes, this has been probably 4 or 5 years since we've gone back to this route. So, yeah, but we'll definitely get that.
Ms. Corp will follow up with us as appropriate. All right, motion made and seconded. No further discussion. All those in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion unanimously passes. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is I-57. It's the request to close North Ockersville Road from Old West Chocolate Avenue to Hershey Park Drive from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, September 25th, 2021, for the annual PIAA Cross Country Invitational being held on the grounds of the Hershey Entertainment Complex. Chief?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The annual PIAA Cross Country Invitational is scheduled for Saturday, September 25th, 2021. On the grounds of Hershey Entertainment Complex. The design of this course has runners crossing Hockersville Road 2 times during each race. For the safety of the runners and the spectators, Hershey Entertainment Complex Safety and Security has requested the closure of North Hockersville Road. As part of the closure, they will place the appropriate road closure signs and barricades and will also man each closure point. If approved, there will also be variable message boards placed on North Hockersville Road 5 days in advance of the event to warn motorists who routinely use this roadway. This is something that we've done for
Lockwood Ave to Hershey Park Drive from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, September 25th, 2021, for the annual PIAA Cross Country Invitational held on the grounds of the Hershey Entertainment Complex.
All right, motion made by Mrs. Nunn. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zamuda. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes. The last item of business on the agenda is J58. It's the request to close North Hockersville Road from Old West Chocolate Avenue to Hershey Park Drive from 11 p.m. on Friday, October 8th, 2021, to 5 p.m. on Saturday, October 9th, 2021, for the annual Antique Automobile Club of America Fall Meet being held on the grounds of the Hershey Entertainment Complex.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The AACA Fall Meet is back this year. This request is also to close North Hockersville Road in the same manner as the cross-country invitational, but it will be for a little bit longer period of time. It will be an overnight closure. They will man the closure points, post them, and they will also have a variable message board placed on the North Hockersville Road 5 days in advance to warn motorists that the closure will be upcoming for that weekend.
Any questions? If not, we can entertain a motion. I'll go ahead and move that we approve the request to close North Hockersville Road from Old West Chocolate Avenue to Hershey Park Drive from 11 p.m. on Friday, October 8, 2021 to 5 p.m. on Saturday, October 9, 2021. The annual Antique Automobile Club of America Fall Meet being held on the grounds of the Hershey Entertainment Complex. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Ms. Court. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. And the motion is approved. Thank you. That brings us to the next item on the agenda, which is Supervisor Board or Committee Reports. So we'll start with Mr. Zamuda and the Vice Court. And this is not Mr. Wyckoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We had a transportation meeting at the end of August. Natalie, would you be willing to talk to that, speak to that transportation?
That was just our meeting.
I'll let you take care of that one then, but we've had a couple of others. Yesterday, we had a meeting in this very room with the state police to discuss their plans for what they're planning on doing up on the hill there and a small zoning change that will eventually come before us. And I already gave my shameless push for the Choctoberfest. That's all I have, sir. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Just a quick mention that tomorrow actually begins Hispanic Heritage Month, and to wrap up the month on October 13th, we're going to be doing the next free event from Hershey Area All Things Diversity, which is a presentation by Hector Ortiz, who's going to be talking to us about better understanding Hispanic and Latinx culture. It's free to attend. It's all online. Check the email, news blast, your information, and register.
Very good. Thank you.
As Supervisor Zamuda noted, he and myself and Mr. Emmerich have been meeting fairly regularly to go over the greater Hershey transportation study and kind of put the items that were included in that study kind of in order. And I think that we have finished putting them in order at this point, and we'll soon be able to make a presentation to the board. We identified the items that we see between the two of us that we think that the board would also agree are the most important. And as funds become available, which items we'd like to see accomplished first, and which items that maybe aren't quite a priority. So it's been really enjoyable working on that with Supervisor Zamuda and Mr. Emmerich. And I know from my own perspective, I've learned an awful lot about the different ins and outs of what has to take place to make changes that most people would think are pretty simple. And they're really not.
Every day is a learning experience.
Yes, absolutely. So, and none of the other boards and committees that I sit on have met since our last meeting.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Wyckoff.
DTMA did not meet since our last meeting. I would like to take a second to welcome Allison. Thank you again. And I had an opportunity to walk in the tunnels to Towers Walk with our fire department and our police department, and it was a very moving event, wouldn't you say, Mr. Chairman? And Susan, I saw you along the route. I know you were at the market, and I just wanted to say...
I was taking videos from Township Behavior, so...
It was an honor, and seeing that flag, it was very moving, so I appreciate being a part of that. And Mr. Zimmerman, sorry for your experience. I will say, Chief, when the power went out at our house at 3 o'clock, our neighborhood of Waltonville Springs, I walked down just to say hello to the officers, and they were like, sir, you need to go back to your house. But there was one on one side of the road and another on the other side of the road. I'm sure you were responding all over the place. I saw the note from the resident on Dartmouth that officers were in the neighborhood when the power was out in that neighborhood the following day. So, Mr. Zimmerman, I'm sorry for the experience you had. I'm sure, Chief, you're aware down there. Natalie and I walked that area when we were campaigning and met a lot of residents and heard their concerns. I did not know there are now 15 different units down there, but you're well aware of it, Chief. Maybe during your report you could just touch on it. But again, thanks again for the opportunity and for the response.
Thank you. And I will just echo Mr. Wyckoff's statements about the tunnels to Towers Walk. Everybody, there were so many people in the township involved in that, helping to support it. It was really a tremendous event. Everyone that participated is thanked for their participation. And it was nice to even be a very small part of the whole event over the course of the journey that was that memorial walk. Was really special. Thanks to the fire department, the police department, who showed up in a really big way to be a part of it, especially, everyone. I don't want to exclude anyone, but certainly the fire department was there. And it was really, that was really special too, just the relationship between the firefighters from New York City and our firefighters, and just the camaraderie, male and female, was really special. So
it was a great day.
Really was a great day, moving day. I don't have an update from any of the boards that I sit on, so I will just conclude with that. Thank you. That brings us to departmental reports and the chief.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just in reference to what Mr. Wyckoff was stating, we were aware of the conditions down in Palmdale. In fact, I think between the fire department and the police department, we made several trips down into the trailer court further east, which is Sunset and Sunrise drives down there. Those residents refused to evacuate, but we kept checking on them because that lower level of that trailer court was definitely flooding out. We made several trips down there, and like I said, the fire department was down there as well, just checking on those residents, and if they wanted to evacuate, we would get them out. We were keeping an eye out in that area down there. It's probably why they weren't back here.
Sometimes you just can't help you.
Yeah, and there were a multitude of things that were going on that day. We held several people out overtime to address. We had not only the flooding issues, but then the wind kicked up, and we had several trees that were down over roadways and on wires and knocking out power and so forth. It was definitely a lot to keep up with, but Public Works, Fire Department, Police Department, we were definitely had our hands full, but everybody was working together, and I think we were able to try to get some of those roadways open when we could, so it was definitely a team effort, sorry you weren't able to get any.
Well, you weren't here in 2011. You weren't here in 2011, were you?
Been with this department 33 years, so probably.
You remember 2011?
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah.
About the same time as you
remember. I remember Agnes too. I was young, but I remember it. So yeah, a little bit less rain than 2011. Plus, we had the storm that went through the week before, tropical storm that went through the week before. I think with Tropical Storm Lee. So a little bit different circumstances. We were watching too back here at the Swinair Creek. It was starting to get up there, but fortunately, we were watching the meter at the Swinair station. It looked like it was leveling off at one point. So, it definitely could have gotten there if the conditions were right.
And I just want to do want to thank you, Chief, and Tom Clark, and Dave Sasson, and the fire department in general. Thank you to the chief and others, because the response, I thought, was exceptional to the circumstances. And I did think that in many respects, you know, we all of us at the township at one point or another, we've learned from some of those prior instances, and I think have gotten better and better. But your folks, again, are the first ones out there when we were being told to come inside. You guys are the ones out there telling us to come inside and putting yourselves at risk. So thank you for that overall effort. Generally speaking, I think the job you did was fantastic. And we'd just like to follow up with Mr. Christman. I know we have, we're efforting to get in touch with PPNL and another issue related to the storm and power outage. I still would like to raise Mr. Zimmerman's point with them and make them aware, officially make them aware of that low-lying area.
Yeah, they're going to have to put in a disconnect switch, either be automatic. It'd be nice if it was automatic.
But we should make sure that we've made them aware of that. I mean, ultimately, that's between PPNL, but it does create a safety concern under those circumstances, and we need to push them on that. And see.
Well, I'm an electrician, and I saw him put it in. I call up the zoning department. I said, you can't do that. Yeah. Well, it got approved. It was the inspection agency that did it over in Middletown. They don't care. Yeah. You know.
And really, those flooding events have been, you know, they don't happen.
My flood code was supposed to be 6 feet by the highest point of water.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're going to take that.
But they ain't going to replace that. They're just going to have to put in a disconnect.
Just, yeah, something. But we'll look into that, okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
And then, so thank you, Chief. Do you have anything else?
Yeah, I would be remiss if I didn't mention Lieutenant Tim Rich, our emergency management coordinator. He was definitely on top of things, and he was in the trenches as well in Tropical Storm Lee, so... He knew what was happening and the possibilities, so he was sounding the bell way before the event even happened, so kudos to him as well.
I just wanted to add a quick thank you to you and your force for all the great communications, things through Nixle, you know, through Crime Watch, all the communications from Tim. I mean, it was great, and it was terrific to be able to get that out to the residents as things were happening. Even the road closures, I mean, it was really well handled.
And a funny thing, a lot of people don't remember this from 2011, but we did learn this time, and it had nothing to do with the police department, the fire department, or public works, but it was at the sewer authority. When the pump station went down, you know, we had the same problem in 2011, and at that time, those pump stations were so far under the wire that it was requiring specialized equipment to come and literally, I forget what they had doing. Special cranes have to come into the township to get special work from PennDOT. But at that time, you recall, it took us a little while to advise residents to conserve water, because while water service was still being provided, there ultimately was nowhere for it to go, the gravity fed system, once the pump stations were down. So there was this sense in the community that, oh, good, we have electricity and water. And then, it dawned on me. The sewer authority was like, "Wait a minute!" But there's nowhere for it to go. So that we did learn this time, and I know that when they were fixing the pump station, I was talking to Carter and other members of the board to make sure that they were prepared with a Nixle message to go out. I know they contacted you, Chief, about that, so that we were positioned that they didn't have the repair done. Get that notice to folks. So you learn. The most important thing is we learn from all these instances, and we continue to work on our overall response, and we all get better at it.
Yeah, we put the message out for them, but they're probably going to reconsider the format of the message, because I think they put a cell phone number in there for people to call. And a little bit later, they said, hey, we're getting slammed on this cell phone number, so can you tell people to call if there's a problem?
And your part, most of that team out there wasn't here in 2011.
Right.
So, you know, everything was working on the way it was supposed to work, but it's kudos to everybody, so thank you. Dave Sasson, Fire Department.
Thank you. So just a note, not sounding for the record on this stuff, but the Fire Department staff the day of the flood, we had over 15 members stay over that entire day and into the evening, ready to respond. And I think everything worked well with the police department. Public safety was, I think, well, we did a pretty good deal there. As far as Tunnel Towers, thank you all for your participation. That was a great event. Learned a lot. The Stella family is amazing. Their foundation, I think, is amazing. And I just appreciate the time there. And that's all I have for this evening. Thank you, Dan.
Tom, of course.
We're just trying to keep up with grass and getting ready for leaves.
The weather's been perfect for that grass to grow. So it's, I know it's keeping you busy. And, well, thank you. And Tom, same with Dave and with Garden. Please extend our thanks and appreciation for your teams for what they did. And it doesn't go unnoticed. We, you know, the cleanup effort was amazing and it was fast and safe. So thank you.
Pass it along. Thank you.
Library.
No real report. We're just excited to work with Alton.
Excellent. Thank you. All right, Parks and Rec, Zach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a brief community center construction update for you this evening. Our contractors are continuing with the excavation of the lap and competition pool that they began on last week. They have hung the lights and begun installing the fabric ductwork in that area. Also installing the overhead lights in the gymnasium and the electrical for the basketball net systems. Drywall work continues to progress throughout the facility. Also, a lot of progress has been made with both exterior and interior glass windows and doors. They've completed the tile work on the outdoor pool and have poured the foundations for the outdoor slide. We updated new pictures this morning, which can be seen at HersheyCommunityCenter.org.
Very good. Thank you, Zach.
Thank you.
Township Engineer, Mr. Banana.
Yeah, just a couple comments on the storm. As Chief mentioned, it was a different type of storm than we saw in 2011, but many people weren't here. If you remember, Chris, the board's priority coming off that storm was stormwater is going to be the number one priority in this township. You know, and I think with the investments made from the township in the years following that, and what DTMA is doing right now with the stormwater fee and the improvements, you're seeing a lot more resiliency in the system when you have these type of events. Actually, Lane in Philadelphia was driving back from Philadelphia to Harrisburg through the storm, and you talk about white knuckles, you know, trying to get home. So it was a very intense storm. But when I did get home, I checked, you know, all the news stations, checked the things about how Derry did, was really pleased with, you know, you're always going to have some of the low-lying areas get flooded. But from some of the damage and the storms that we saw 10 years ago, it just wasn't here. So, you know, kudos to the board for putting that time and investment into these type of systems. And you're really seeing these type of events pay off. You know, when it's sunny, you don't think about that money that was invested, but it really saves time and property and sometimes even lives by doing those investments. Just a little perspective from 10 years ago.
Didn't solve, right? Like, it's impossible to solve for every possible storm, but we learned that. But it did seem like that was years. Like, it was like, I felt like at every meeting for 3 years, we were doing stormwater construction project updates. And so you're right. I think it was money well spent. There are so many people that are, you know, responsible for that good work, and a lot of people in the community that tolerated some, you know, construction and things that were unpleasant for a little while, but I think we got there. And it's continuing. All the good work that's been done since then with the stormwater fee and the investment in the stormwater management. And yet there are still places that will flood. And, you know.
That's a good point, Matt. Everywhere that was addressed with that project, we've never had a problem since then. Cherry Drive, Maple Avenue, Cumberland Hill, down through there.
Talked to all my former neighbors on Java, and we really got killed during Lee. I mean, everybody on the block, you know, had full basements full of water and lost two vehicles. I mean, it was bad back in 2011. And I checked in, and they said they were dry and good. So, happy news.
Yeah, that was good news. It was bad.
Okay.
Yeah,
go.
I just thought about the conversation going on here. Zach, me living right across the street from the pool, that water was this much from the top of the rise for the stormwater. Is there any thought of boosting that up a little bit? That water in the creek came up pretty fast.
What's that? The Cocoa Avenue side?
Yeah.
The new stormwater there?
Yeah.
I think that's, as it is now, that my understanding that that's the finished stormwater basin on that side.
You get any more rain, that's going to go over and invade the rest of the pool. So, all right, it's just a thought. So it was deep and fast moving through there that night.
Thank you, man.
John?
Nothing additional this evening, thank you.
Chris, Township Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have one item. As the board's been aware, we've been having issues with trash collection in the township, and as a result, I did reach out to Waste Management to try to get some answers as to what's going on with the company. Mr. Stang could not make it to tonight's meeting. He did alert me that he will be here for the September 28th meeting, but did offer the following for me to read into the record tonight. He notes that in late June, Waste Management did provide a statement to the Sun, and there was an article written about the shortages within their company. But he also notes that most of our service problems have been related to the collection of yard waste. With a driver shortage, our priorities have been collecting trash first, recyclables second, and finally yard waste third. The labor shortage, staff injuries and illnesses, and scheduled vacations have placed Waste Management in a very challenging position in completing scheduled routes. We simply do not have the manpower every day of the week. It becomes a scheduling issue to try to get all routes covered. There have been instances where we have asked our employees to reschedule vacation time in order to have routes covered. Waste Management currently runs 27 residential collection routes each day out of our Camp Hill hauling company. Some of our routes are operated with two men or women, and others operate with one man, one woman. Below are some steps the company's taken to in an effort to secure new employees, and they include the company recently introduced its You Are Tomorrow, an educational benefits package that each year will provide up to $12,000 to help a team member complete their high school education and take college preparatory classes, study in 135 certificate or bachelor's degree programs, and study for master's degrees in more than 40 business, technology, and other fields of study. This benefit is expected to be extended to the spouses and dependents of our team members in 2022. Waste Management continues to offer competitive pay rates, health benefits, matched retirement savings plan, employee stock purchase plan, and other benefits. A $7,500 sign-on bonus is being offered to experienced commercial driver's license holders and technicians to join our team. The company is also offering a $1,000 referral bonus to any current team member who will refer successful employment candidates. They're also conducting local hiring events where candidates can meet with local managers and learn about the essential services that they provide and hopefully join their team. He hopes that some of this information will find helpful tonight, and he looks forward to seeing the board on September 28th. I know that I've also asked about whether or not the company will, if this is going to be a continuing ongoing issue as labor shortages are being felt in a variety of different areas, can they look to credit the contract so that those folks that are experiencing delays, at least at a minimum, can get a credit back on their bills simply because of the inconvenience. So sort of, you can give me a response to that. So I'm assuming on the 28th, you know, we'll have more to discuss about that. But at least at this point, this is all I can offer tonight. It's something that we continue to monitor and you know, try to push the township's best interest forward with respect to the contract. And you know, as new issues arise, we'll certainly make
So are we, do we expect there to be pickup problems this week?
That was not conveyed to me. And Tom, I'm not sure if they made mention to you either.
I've not heard anything at this point.
As of last week, the issue was primarily, aside from what I just read, because of manpower shortages, we had a holiday week, a skipped in the schedule. And so routes on the Wednesday loop were missed completely, which as soon as we were made aware of that, we put that out through our township notices, through the website, through all of the social media. could. And waste management was to also conduct a robocall to all the affected homeowners to let them know about the missed collections. As far as it continuing, you know, I don't have any speculation about that. I can't speak to what they're, aside from what they sent to us today, about how they're trying to increase recruitment to continue to have drivers on their back. It is a their issue, even though it's our contract. You know, it's our job to certainly look out for the residents who are paying those bills on a monthly basis or quarterly basis, however they come out. And it's certainly something that we're going to take into consideration as we begin to discuss the next contract, which this current contract expires at the end, at the first part of next year. But so we'll be looking to get an RFP together towards the end of this year.
I don't doubt we'd be experiencing this, regardless of who we are using, probably this, you know, given the shortages, labor shortages that are hitting all industries. But I think one of the things we should talk to Tom about when he comes is just making sure the communication to the residents is consistent and accurate. So if residents find out they're not getting their garbage picked up, that's okay, as long as they know it's getting picked up tomorrow or it's not getting picked up at all. But the not knowing and having cans out or cans in, and I think that's where frustrations really tend to
build. I think some of the feedback that board members received over the week, and I certainly received a bunch of calls about, you know, the lack of communication. Or, you know, they were to have that robocall about. I don't know if it did. I'm not on a Wednesday route myself. However, the fact that things were missed and cans were put away and then the trucks came, so there was miscommunication on the part of waste management internally. There was miscommunication on their part externally to our residents. You know, those are the things that we certainly want to correct. We want to make sure that, you know, they're being forthright and open with when they have issues to let everybody know as soon as possible.
I think the takeaway is we need them to be better communication, especially if they know in advance there's going to be a missed pickup. And if this is going to happen with any kind of frequency, even if it's irregular, you know, we're going to want to talk about adjustments to bills.
Right.
And so, you know, that's when he does get back into town and you talk to him, even before I will be here at that meeting, but trust everyone here will ask those tough questions. But in advance of that meeting, you know, we should be making alerting him to that. That's, you know, that's our expectation under the contract. Right? And, you know, I agree with Susan, there's a driver shortage everywhere, and we want to be sensitive to that. But over communicating with our residents is the way to go on this, on their end. Right? So we want to make sure we're clear.
Thank you. That's all I have tonight. Thank you.
All right, well, that brings us to the next and last user public comment session. So anyone wishing to come forward, again, this is the time. You know the drill, you know the rules. So first name, last name, address, 3 minutes. All right. Well, that takes us to the next item on the agenda, which is adjournment. Do we have a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Motion made by Ms. Ford. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mrs. Nutt. All in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the meeting is adjourned.